morning. If you're visiting us, then it's great to have you with us. Please do stay around afterwards to say hello, I hope you have a good time with us as we come together to worship God today. Let's read some verses from Revelation before we sing our first song. This is what it says in Revelation 15. Great and marvelous are your deeds, Lord God Almighty. Just and true are your ways, King of the ages. Who will not fear you, O Lord, and bring glory to your name? For you alone are holy. All nations will come and worship before you, for your righteous acts have been revealed. So as we stand to sing, all creatures of our God and King, have that picture in mind of the Lord God who created all, who we have just celebrated the birth of his son Jesus at Christmas. He alone is worthy of our praise. Let's stand together as we sing.
Oh,
Please take a seat as we pray. Father God, we thank you that this morning we are free to come together as a part of your church community here in Newbury, that we are able to do in freedom without the fear of persecution, without the fear of anybody coming and trying to stop us. We thank you for all the good gifts that you give to us. We thank you that you have sent your son Jesus as a gift at Christmas, so that we, through his death and resurrection that we remember at Easter, may come into your presence and call you Abba Father, that you know each one of us by name, that you know this morning whether we come with joy in our hearts or with sadness or just with fear and uncertainty about the future. And wherever we are, that you will meet us, that you will be real to us, and that we will hear from you. Father, we pray this morning that through the words that are shared, through the songs that we sing, through hearing your word, the Bible read to us, that your voice would speak to each one of us, and that you would encourage us and draw us closer to you. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. I should say thank you to those that have stepped in. Some at quite last minute this morning. Hopefully it's not a case of reaching into the back of the fridge and finding the last of the dregs of the Christmas food. But really it is the premium stuff that we have found this morning to put together a service for you. But also let's pray and thank God for those that are taking a morning off. Whether that's Richard, who's occupying the front row, therefore making me feel particularly nervous. Or particularly also our kind of chatterbox and youth group leaders who are also having the morning off as well. Let's remember them in prayer and encourage them also for all the hard work that they have done through the year. It's that funny time of year, isn't it, where we've had Christmas, but yet we've not yet had to start our New Year's resolutions, and so they cannot yet have been broken. And, you know, maybe it's a time to try some experiments. And I'm going to do that this morning. We're going to look a little bit later at the account in Matthew's Gospel of when the Magi visit Jesus and they bring three gifts. So we're going to stick with the theme of three this morning, and I have three things to go wrong or perhaps to work. Let's see what happens. So we're going to look at this passage in Matthew, and David's kindly going to read it for us later. But here is just the two opening verses where it says, "After Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea, during the time of King Herod, Magi from the east came to Jerusalem and asked, 'Where is the one who had been born King of the Jews? We saw his star in the east and have come to worship him.'" Well, I might be able to do an awful lot, but bringing the sky in to church was a little bit of a challenge. So I have a representation of a little bit of sky, and slightly unseasonal this time of year, my sky has some snow that has fallen on it. Now, Christmas can be that time, isn't it, where we have lots of fun things that are going on. Sometimes it feels like there are dark clouds. Sometimes there are bright, shiny snow clouds. Sadly, not at the moment. But it's easy to also forget what's actually behind some of the meaning of Christmas. And what we're able to do, if it works, is to wipe away some of the snow cloud. You can always check whether the church cleaner is going to do their job. And reveal the star. Now, the wise men saw appearing in the sky something that is told to us as a star, and that pointed us to Jesus' birth. And the question that we'll look at a little bit later is, who was Jesus? They go to Herod and they ask, "Where is the one who is born King of the Jews?" And the star is the reminder. My question to you this morning is, as you see the star appear in the sky, who is Jesus to you? I hope that Jesus is more than just a baby who is given as a present to us at Christmas and makes for a nice little holiday in these dark winter months, and is somebody that you know as both a friend, but also somebody who, as we said, has died on the cross so that our sins could be forgiven and we can have that personal relationship with him. Remember the star, that's the first of the three things. If you're a friend of God, if you know that he has forgiven you of your sins, then we might call you a Christian. But being a Christian, life can sometimes be difficult. And over time, the rubbish, this is my rubbish person, starts to build up. And things go on, don't they, in our lives, and rubbish kind of happens. And we might look happy on the outside. Sometimes there's lots of stuff that in our life actually we need to get rid of. We need to burn it up. And as it burns, it's a little bit of heat generated. It takes a while. There we go. And what it leaves behind, weirdly it doesn't work if you put them on the bottom of it, it's some gold chocolate coins. Symbolising the fact that actually what God does in our lives is he's at work getting rid of the things that are wrong and the things that have gone and leaves behind pure gold chocolate. Gold is something we talk about being refined by fire. It's heated up. And just as we got rid of the rubbish from the very fine Amoretti biscuits and we're left with some gold coins, actually God wants to be at work in each of our lives, getting rid of the things that he doesn't like, the things that we do wrong, and start to make us into the people that he wants us to be. So we had the star to point us to Jesus. As Jesus is at work in our life, making us more into the people that he wants us to be, finally we're left with the most tenuous of my attempts at illustrating something, is the world represented by this glass. And around the top, if you've got really good eyesight, then you can see that there is some nice green. Samuel was ever a reliable helper. You prove there is some green around the top of that. Now, if I pour the water, which represents the rest of the world, into the glass very carefully. Look, there's a church spider. Then the green and the water remain separated. And quite often, even though we have come to know God and he's at work in our lives, we still live our lives a little bit like this. We're the green around the top and the rest of the world doesn't really know what's going on. They don't know what's happening here in church this morning. So what we need to do is with a big magic spoon, start to make a little bit of mess. I need a bit more water. So over time, we can mix together. And the things that we know about and the things that we have learned and the example that Jesus has given to us helps us to go and to change the world. And we are able to have an impact. And that's something that I want you to take away from this morning, is to think about one of those three things, whether it's coming to know Jesus for the first time, whether there's perhaps some rubbish in your life that we need to get rid of, and you need to ask God for his help there so that you can become more of the gold coin, or whether it's that actually we need to stop living in our own little bubble, hidden away from everybody else, and actually go out and share something of who God is to us, and let the things that we've experienced and celebrated this Christmas have an impact on those around us. And hopefully, three experiments that vaguely worked, you'll remember something of what God wants to say to you this morning. We're going to stand up and sing, "Joy to the World, the Lord is Come." Just before Duff comes to lead us in prayers, just to share with you a few of the things that are going on in the church life over the coming weeks. I'm sure you've all received a nice new empty calendar for Christmas. So before it gets full of all the other mundane and boring things, why don't you take one of the term cards and make sure that you put in some of the things that are taking place in church, whether that's the dates for our monthly prayer meeting, whether it's the dates for open house, or some of the other regular activities. They are in that flyer there. One other specific event to mention is the visit in the evening with Janie Lee Grace on the 27th of January. If you've not yet had one of these flyers, or you've taken one of these flyers and not yet managed to kind of say, yes, you're going to come along, or you've taken one of these flyers, said, yes, you're going to come along, but not yet managed to give it to somebody perhaps at work or at school or a friend or a neighbour and say, why don't you come with me? Then add that to the list of jobs that need to be done, and it'd be great to have you there with us. And then finally, just to mention also something that's going to start on the second Sunday of each month in the evening at 6 o'clock. There'll be four sessions in the run up to Easter, looking at the context of the Bible, some of the history there, and those are going to be hopefully great sessions for us to get to grips with our understanding of what the Bible is and how to make use of it. And we'll talk a little bit about that shortly. So don't forget those things. Empty calendar, populate it with these things first, and then you can put the boring stuff like your school homework, washing the PE kit, and all those other jobs that need to be done into it. Daph, do you want to come and lead us in prayer? Thank you.
Dear Lord, our Father, thank you for this new day and for all your blessings. Thank you that we can come together in this way to worship and to support each other. And the greatest thing of all, that we've been able to share together the birth of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for our church family and the friendship and love that we can find here. Help us to be aware of each other's needs and reach out and to find the words and actions to show that we care. Help us to show kindness and compassion as you have shown it to us. As this year comes to a close, we consider people whose lives may have taken a different direction through health, finances or bereavement, family changes, education, etc. We consider those who may have found life has become a little daunting and scary and ask for your wisdom and healing and life-giving peace. We thank you that we can all face 2019 confident in your love. Help us to cast all our anxiety on you, dear Lord, and whether our problems are resolved or not, fill us with the peace that comes from knowing that we are held safe in your hands. We pray for Beryl Rowney, who is unwell with a heavy chest infection, and pray that she soon recovers. We pray for Jane Billington. We've had the pleasure of seeing her in church with her family during Christmas, and we pray for them all, as she seems increasingly frail at this time. We pray for them to find the comfort and strength that they need, and ask that you show us if there's some way that we can support them practically. We pray for all those whose needs may or may not be known to us, or be too sensitive to share. Dear Lord, comfort them, and let them feel our love and caring. Thank you for our church and life together as we share in worship, activities, and learning. May we always remember that it is your church, not ours, and in all that we do for your church, O God, whether we're in the spotlight or behind the scenes, help us to honor you and to know how best to serve you. Help us to hear your words and feel your guidance in the ongoing discussions on the future role of our church, and help us to fully embrace any changes that will follow. Dear Lord, we thank you for Richard and the leaders in our church and ask you to bless and strengthen them. We pray for our leaders locally and nationally, that they may have wisdom to know and courage to do what is right. We pray for Christian families fleeing from persecution in the Middle East at this time, people who have lost their homes, friends, and family members. We remember Joseph, Mary, warned of persecution by King Herod, fleeing to Egypt with the infant Jesus. Do, Lord, give wisdom to national and local leaders in nations accepting refugees, and help us all to reach out with love and compassion. Thank you, dear Lord, for giving us your peace. We know that you're listening to us, and ask that your will be done. Amen.
Thank you. We're going to stand and sing Perhaps the obvious song for this morning, though perhaps it lacks a bit of truth in its opening sentence, of "We Three Kings of Orient Are." Apparently they weren't in a taxi, a scooter, or a car. And so hopefully somebody's going to sing some better words than I'm going to manage. Let's stand together and sing "We Three Kings of Orient Are." Father God, we thank you for all the good gifts that you have given to us. We thank you most for the gift of Jesus, but we also thank you for the wealth that we have, whether it is small or great. And in offering some of it back, we also offer ourselves and ask that you would use these things with wisdom and that you would use them to glorify your name here in this town and further afield. Help those who have responsibility for counting and accounting for the finances of this church, that they would do so diligently and with your good wisdom. Help us, Lord, to know how best to be your servants in this town. Amen. Please do take a seat, and I'm going to invite David, who is our third substitute, but equally important, to come and read to us from Matthew chapter 2 and verses 1 to 12. Perhaps you'll find inside one of the chairs in front of the Bible if you'd like to follow along. Thank you, David.
The visit of the Magi. After Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea, during the time of King Herod, Magi from the east came to Jerusalem and asked, "Where is the one who has been born King of the Jews? We saw his star in the east and have come to worship him." When King Herod heard this, he was disturbed, and all Jerusalem with him. When he had called together all the people's chief priests and teachers of the law, he asked them where the Christ was to be born. "In Bethlehem in Judea," they replied, "for this was what the prophet has written. But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah, for out of you will come a ruler who will be the shepherd of my people Israel." Then Herod called the Magi secretly and found out from them the exact time the star had appeared. He sent them to Bethlehem and said, "Go and make a careful search for the child. As soon as you find him, report to me, so that I too may go and worship him." After they had heard the king, they went on their way, and the star they had seen in the east went ahead of them, until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they were overjoyed. On coming to the house, they saw the child with his mother Mary, and they bowed down and worshipped him. Then they opened their treasures and presented him with gifts of gold and of incense and of myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to go back to Herod, they returned to their country by another route. This is the word of the Lord.
Thank you. And before we come to look at that, we're going to sing perhaps a more responsive song of "Open the Eyes of My Heart." Let's stand together as we sing. Lord, we ask that you would indeed open the eyes of our hearts, that we would hear what it is that you have to say to us this morning as we search for you, that you would meet us where we are and change us into the people you want us to be. In Jesus' name, amen. Please take a seat. Well, I wonder if you cast your minds back to the 1st of January 2017. How many of you can remember where you were? Perhaps what you were doing, perhaps even what you were saying. Well, if there's something strangely familiar in your mind, then it's because on that day I stood here preaching on the same passage that David read to us this morning. It was certainly tempting to just play back the sermon from that Sunday morning. But to do so would suggest that we have nothing new to hear from God. It isn't that the text of Scripture has changed, but each of us finds ourselves in a different place 2 years on. And so we need to search and listen for what God wants to say to us today. There is also merit in pausing to hear again the words of Scripture that we have become familiar with, perhaps to let them impact our hearts in a way that they haven't done for a long time, or to just find encouragement in their steadfast certainty. For those that think three gifts is the gift of the pun intended, for the preacher looking for a three-point sermon, then here's a shock. I've got four. A question, an instruction, an act, and an attitude. You can't see my notes, so you won't know if I've got my Oxford comma in the right place or not. If you're after a traditional look at the passage this morning, then I'm sorry, but you are perhaps going to be disappointed. As Jonathan said last Sunday morning, the events of Jesus' birth are recorded in the Gospels in minimal detail. And as well known to us as they are, the detail that we have to take from the Bible is actually quite limited. And so in looking at this historical event, our task is to listen to God's message for us today. Hence why we sang, "Open the eyes of my heart." So we search for God in this passage. What is it that he's saying to us today? As I put together some of my thoughts for this morning earlier in the month, a remarkable thing in itself, I just spent a day at a conference on ethics in the context of artificial intelligence. I live an exciting life. It's always interesting in situations like that to try and tease out of others where their sense of right and wrong comes from, especially after I've explained to them that I'm a Christian, I believe that there is a God, and I believe that he is a higher authority that gives that sense of right and wrong. Ethics is, by its nature, often abstract and philosophical, though perhaps not quite as complicated as trying to get your head around quantum entanglement, which is such a thing. Now, if you're wondering how are we going to leap from those things to the Magi that are recorded in Matthew and chapter 2, then you're probably not alone. Discussions on the issues of artificial intelligence, quantum computing, and to complete another list of three, blockchains, are taking place in society. Admittedly, only a small, niche part of society. But as that technology develops, decisions on its use and the applications are going to need to be made. Perhaps the biggest threat that we face from such advancements is not what they will be able to do, but that they will be developed without a broad range of voices being involved in the discussion, and we will have to face the result of unintended consequences. I think we ignore that conversation at our peril. And here comes the leap, though perhaps not quite a quantum one. Right here in the opening part of Matthew's Gospel, we are faced with a big and significant question, and it demands that we have an answer. Is Jesus the King? Back in the summer with our small group, we talked a bit about those who claimed to be atheists, someone who doesn't believe in God. Yes, there are times when it is hard to believe that there is a God, But to be confident that there is no God, surely that takes a much greater level of belief. And this morning, as I said, I'm interested in exploring the questions that this passage raises for us today, in our situation, in our time. And this question is one that is most significant. If Jesus is, as Matthew and the gospel writers proclaim, the king, then it has consequences for you and for I. There is an echo of the question that Jesus asks in Matthew chapter 16, where he says to the disciples, "Who do people say I am?" And it's the answer from Simon Peter that is most significant. "You are the Messiah, the Son of the living God." There is little doubt from historical texts that Jesus walked this earth. And so the question is less one of his existence and more one of, is he who he said he was? If Jesus was just a good man, a teacher, a person with some supernatural abilities, then there are a few consequences for you or I on how we view this historical event. If, however, Jesus is the Son of God, then the significance is great. As John 3 and verse 16 reminds us, the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. In their song, Deep Blue Sea, the group Eden Burning asked these questions. Are you one or the other? Are you for or against? Are you drifting in the middle ground? And they conclude with, are you afraid to commit and to cross that line? The answer to those questions is found in Matthew 12 and verse 30. Here are Jesus' words. If you are not on my side, you're against me. There is no middle ground in answering the question, who is Jesus? Either you're going to recognize him as God's son, or you're going to reject that idea. Both have consequences. And an attempt to leave the question unanswered is itself a rejection of Jesus as king. Then as we look at this passage, we read of an instruction. Well, no doubt those of you with children will be familiar with the refrain, but he told me to do it. And the response, as pointless as it often is, if he told you to jump out of a window, would you do that as well? Well, in this passage, the Magi are given an instruction to go and find this new king and to report back. The extent to which my children are listening at this point will determine how much trouble I may create with what I'm about to say. Just because someone, apparently in a position of authority, gives you an instruction doesn't mean you should just blindly follow it. Herod's instruction seems innocent enough. But understand the motive behind it, and you will understand that this seemingly good intention is a cloak behind evil intent. Yes, there are times when we should follow instructions that we're given, be they from a teacher, a parent, perhaps a police officer. But also, just because someone speaks with authority doesn't mean we should follow without question. I think something that we can take from this small interaction is the need to be curious and to ask questions. We should seek to engage with the Bible and discover what God is saying to us, rather than just hearing the opinions of others. Even more so this morning, as you hopefully listen to me. If you don't feel equipped to be able to do anything other than to take the opinion of someone else when it comes to understanding the Bible, then why not make it your New Year's resolution to come to these four sessions that are taking place, as he said, on that second Sunday of each month at 6 p.m. in the evening. In faith, I say, I did check, there are flyers with more details in the welcome area. Don't just blindly take what's said from the front because somebody with apparent authority says it. Learn how to deal with the Bible yourself, to grapple with these issues, and to understand what God is saying to you. The next observation is of an act. On finding Jesus, probably not in the place where he was born, probably not when he was only a few days old, the Magi take action. They worship the king. Now, there is always a danger in attempting to interpret scripture based on translation alone. But as I read again this passage, and did say in several translations, the order of events as they're written struck me. The common sequence that is used is this, that the Magi knelt and worshipped Jesus, and then they gave their gifts. Perhaps the gifts formed part of the act of worship, perhaps not. But what I think is important is for us to realize that it is the response that we make and not what we give that is first important. The ability to worship God isn't constrained by what we have, but by what we're prepared to give. It is that great act, isn't it, to bow down before someone else and to show humility. That is something all of us are in a position to do, because wealth and riches, position in society, or job title have nothing to do with it. But just as Jesus said, it was easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich person to enter heaven. So it is easier for us to give something we have than it is for us to lay down our lives and give them to God. At various points over the last year, when talking to colleagues at work, I found myself sharing with them that I'm working where I do because I believe it's where God wants me to be. My life is not my own. It has been given to God because I answered that question. I said that Jesus is King. And so whilst I have choices, and I can make those as an individual, and I can make them with God's guidance, the job isn't always about having a career or pursuing a future that is mine. It is about being obedient to God at a particular time and in a particular way. Sometimes that is an easy thing to understand. Sometimes it's easy to see the reason behind particular things. At other points it is, and often remains, a mystery. But as with so many things, you can't take the benefits of the peace that this gives without accepting that sometimes it might be a challenge and it might ask something more of you. A final thought to take from this account is one of the attitudes that the Magi had. They appear to have been expectantly listening. The account starts and ends with a supernatural event that was understood because of the behaviors and actions of those who were involved. Now, admittedly, the point made here is slightly more tenuous when applied to the dream that the Magi have at the end of that passage, but perhaps you'll allow me one final clutch at straws as this year comes to an end. I wonder how many times you've wanted to hear from God and felt that there has been no response. Could it be that the message was given, but you and I weren't in a place to hear it or even to recognize it? Thinking back on my own life's experiences, I wonder if I've been too quick to be dismissive of things and to continue searching for something when the response has already been given. Again, we need to be careful with making too much of a point from just one sentence in Matthew's gospel. But there appears to have been little hesitancy in the Magi's response. Perhaps the final thing for us to take from this passage as we go into 2019 is to take a few more steps of faith and to take them quickly rather than wanting to double-check everything with everyone every time. Is the message for us to hear this morning that if we recognize that Jesus is indeed the King, that we need to be bold and decisive in response, to seek out the opportunities to worship him in all aspects of our life, and to be prepared to go to new places, do new things, and change course when God asks something else of us. As this service, and indeed this year, draw to a close, can I encourage you to take the time to pause and to reflect on what God has said to you? Perhaps again to ask him to speak in a voice that is loud and clear, and to think about what this Christmas and the message of a baby given who lived his life in obedience to his Father, giving his life as the ultimate sacrifice that we could have our sins forgiven. What does that mean to you? And how will that shape your 2019? Amen. We're going to stand and sing the final song for this morning, Great is the Lord. Let's stand together as we sing. Lord, as we reflect on what has happened in the past and think about what it means for us today, may we come before you with our questions and seek you for who you are as we grapple with that question of, was Jesus the King? And what are we going to do in response? May that not be put off until tomorrow, but dealt with today. Lord, be at work in each one of us through the coming days. And as we go into a new year, set before us the plans that you have that we may obediently follow. Lord, where we need your encouragement and strength, will that be given and be evident? Where we have questions and doubts, may you walk with us, provide those around us that can spur us on, that we as a Christian community here in this town would be a bright and shining light, pointing others to you, as that star pointed the Magi in the Christmas story. Father, we pray that you would send us out from here to go and to have an impact on the world, that the things that we have learnt of you would not be locked in our own hearts, but but that they would make a difference in the way that we act and the way that we speak, the way that we live our lives, that your name, the highest name, would be glorified in all that we do. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.